The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to our Friday edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Apologize for sounding a little froggy today, but fighting a cold. Starting to turn the tide, I think, but doesn't quite sound that good yet. So hang in there with us. Coming up on the show today, we'll chat with Bob Kessling, the radio voice of the Tennessee Vols. Get a little scouting report on the football game tomorrow down in Knoxville. A little later, Mike Reese, who's the radio voice of Southern Illinois basketball, will join us to preview the game coming up tonight, the home opener for John Calipari and his Cats. And in between, we'll talk to Lexington Herald Leader columnist John Clay. That is our guest lineup, always presented by Sleep Outfitters here on the show. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That's a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. We'll go in chronological order. So basketball first as Kentucky takes on Southern Illinois tonight. 20-13 last season out of the Missouri Valley Conference. Teams out of the Valley that, and this team's picked third preseason in the MVC. Teams out of the Missouri Valley historically have been anything but a pushover. Now, this team did play two tournament teams last year. They lost big at Louisville early in the season by 42, had nine of their shots blocked, so they struggled against the size. And I read a story where their coach, Barry Henson, this week put rakes up on the around the basket for players to shoot over to simulate the size that they'll have to face. They also played Nevada, which was a Elite Eight team and lost by, or a Sweet 16 team, I guess, and lost by 22 to Nevada. One of their star players is Kavion Pippen. He's the nephew of Scottie Pippen. Averaged 12 points a game last season. He's a 6'10 five-man for them. For Kentucky, though, it's really all about playing against themselves and improving on what we saw Tuesday night up in Indianapolis. Cal talked to the media yesterday, said that the Duke players played with a chip on their shoulder. That's what he wants to see out of his guys. He asked rhetorically, did we get arrogant? So I suspect they're getting challenged this week in practice. Well, actually, just one day of practice yesterday and then a shoot-around today. So they had Wednesday off because of the travel. So I would imagine it probably wasn't too pleasant, the situation yesterday. And we'll see how Kentucky responds. He suggested the point guards might need to be facilitators, setting up their teammates like his point guards were at UMass rather than creating on their own. He said, quote, we've got to get five guys who will fight like heck and play them as long as we can. So he's kind of laying down the gauntlet there. He wants to see, I think, more passion than we saw on Tuesday night, more fight to put it differently, and the guys who show that will get to play longer. So he's giving you the roadmap to getting minutes. We'll see how and who responds tonight. Football, Kentucky's at Tennessee tomorrow afternoon. Mark Stoops had a chat with the media yesterday. Said the practices have been good this week, but the only other news that came out of it was that he said they've cut down the cast for Cash Daniel a bit this week. So I think he said he'd have use of his fingers to a greater extent, so that I'm sure is welcome for Cash. Jordan Jones is about a week behind him in terms of the recovery from that hand injury. Mark's story writing for the Lexington Herald Leader called it the trappiest trap game ever. I think he's right. Mike Pratt and I were talking about this up in Indianapolis, that this was going to be a trap game whether you beat Georgia or whether you lost to Georgia. It's just in a bad spot on the schedule because the Georgia game was going to be a big deal for Kentucky playing for the Eastern Division Championship. And then 2 weeks earlier, you had that dramatic comeback win against Missouri. So it's been two games where you've had to go deep emotionally, and now you've got to go on the road and play Tennessee. So it's a big challenge, but it's the kind of challenge that you face when you start to get really good, and that's something Kentucky's got to learn how to deal with. And if they can take care of business in this one, they'll be a solid favorite in the last two games and have a great chance to end up 10-2 in the regular season. And just some tremendous accomplishments are still there to be achieved for this team. How about this headline from the Knoxville News Sentinel today? Is UT football in danger of getting passed by Kentucky long term? How about that? That's a headline of the website of the Knoxville News Sentinel today. Bet you the Tennessee players don't like seeing that. So you'll get Tennessee's A effort tomorrow. May not get their A game. They may have errors, execution errors, etc. But you'll get their A effort. I'm convinced of that. Jaden McDaniels making a recruiting visit to UK this weekend. UK volleyball trying to keep their winning streak going tonight at home. They have a match against Mississippi State and trying to move closer to clinching the SEC outright championship. And men's soccer begins Conference USA tournament play tonight against Marshall. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And we'll chat with the voice of the Vols, Bob Kessling, when we come right back.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
16 after the top of the hour. It's our Friday edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And we welcome in Bob Kessling, radio voice for the Tennessee Volunteers. Hello, Bob.
Tom, how are you?
Fighting the cold and losing at the moment, but I'm fighting the good fight.
Well, that's the perfect weather to get you over cold, rainy
yes.
and cold, so that's good.
Yes. I guess tomorrow it's supposed to be better in terms of at least some sunshine, right? But just really cold.
Yeah, it's gonna be cold, but it's pouring down rain right now. But so it's supposed to clear out this afternoon, but it's supposed to be in the 40s, so it'll be football weather. Typical Tennessee, Kentucky football weather. So
somebody, our friend Dick Gabriel, made that comment to a Kentucky football player from Florida a few years ago that this was good football weather, and he said, "I'm from Florida. This isn't football weather."
Are you kidding me? Hey, you should come to back when they used to play at the end of November some of those Tennessee Kentucky games. So anyway, this will be balmy tomorrow. So
there you go. Let's talk a little bit about the Vols in their first year under Jeremy Pruitt, and seem to be playing better here in the second half of the season.
Well, the one game that you point to that you hope they can get back to is the way they played against Auburn. That looked like a completely different football team. Jerry Garantano looked like an all-world quarterback, and the receivers were making these unbelievable catches. And Garantano that day made about five or six of the best throws you could ever ask a quarterback to make. You know, right fade patterns on the sideline where the only guy that could catch it were their receivers. But he has not been the last several games, especially against South Carolina, and then last week against Charlotte, hadn't been anywhere near that type quarterback. And part of that is because the offensive line has just not blocked anybody. They can't run the ball very well, and especially on first downs. They had eight runs on first downs against Charlotte last week, and the first run that went for 5 yards and everything else was 2 yards or less. And there were about, I think, six minus plays on those first downs. So they've been getting behind the sticks the last couple of games. They haven't been able to move the ball, and so, you know, I think all the Tennessee fans are going to show up tomorrow thinking we're going to see the offense they had against Auburn, or is it going to be the one that struggled the past 2 weeks? And that's nobody really knows for sure.
I'd forgotten this until I was going back and looking at some stats last year, but Kentucky sacked Garantano 7 times last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He hadn't gotten sacked as many times this year, Tom, but I think he's gotten hit more. I mean, several of these times that he's gotten rid of throws, he's just gotten blasted, and you know, one of the reasons they took him out of, he got hit really hard in the Alabama game in the first half, and I think he was okay physically, but I think that they just took him out just to maybe protect his health in the second half against that Alabama defense. And Keller Chris came on and played pretty well, but he's just taken some really big time hits this year, and You know, when they started the season, the offensive line, they had gotten Brandon Kennedy, who was a graduate transfer from Alabama. Jeremy Pruitt knew him, knew that he needed a center, and so they brought Kennedy in, and Kennedy gets hurt in practice after the first game, so he's out for the season. So now they start juggling. Trey Smith, who had had those blood clot issues in his lungs, he missed spring practice, and he missed most of fall camp. And then they brought him in and stuck him at left tackle. Well, last year, if you remember, he played left guard. And it's a little bit different going from guard to left tackle. And he didn't get any practice time, basically. And so he just got thrown out there. They moved Drew Richmond to right tackle. So he's playing out of position. And now Ryan Johnson's got to move to center. And his natural position is guard. So you have three guys in your offensive line that are all playing brand new positions. And then your other guards are new players too, so it was really patchwork in an offensive line, and they've been doing that pretty much all season long. And then they lose Trey Smith a couple of weeks ago because the blood clots come back, so now they got to stick Marcus Tatum out there, who's got not very much experience, and so it's just been the offensive line's been a problem all season.
Coach Pruitt, in his first year, has a defensive background like Mark Stoops, like a lot of coaches, it seems like, in the league. Kirby Smart and Coach Odom, Coach Muschamp. Are you starting to see some of his, I think Mark Stoops has described it as his fingerprints on the defense now?
Well, they're playing his style, and I think it was interesting in the Alabama game because Alabama's got such a great passing attack. You know, the question was raised to him by several people, including myself. Well, are you planning on maybe playing a little bit more zone? Are you going to back up a little bit to make sure they don't throw it over your head? And he said, no, we are going to play our style of football. We're going to press the wide outs. We're not going to change anything because of who we're playing, because we're trying to set this foundation of this is how we're going to play football, and we're going to be aggressive. And of course, Tennessee trailed 28-0 at the end of the first quarter against Alabama, which they're not the only team that has done that this year, but they came out, but he wants to show the guys this is how we're going to play and this is how we're going to do it. I do think, Tom, that like any first-year coach, there's some growing pains, and Jeremy has had a tough time relinquishing the controls of the defense. And maybe he won't. Maybe he'll never do that. He'll keep calling the plays from the defensive side of the ball. But he's even admitted early, you know, he's spending all his time working on the defense, and you know how much input does he have on offense, and then you got to trust your assistants and while they know each other, it's still a new staff that's come together. So there have been those, you know, growing pains, and it's been at times been a little bit difficult. But Jeremy Pruitt is very confident in what he wants to get done. As he says all the time, he knows what good looks like because he's been around so many good football teams. He knows what good looks like, and he knows that Tennessee's not good right now, and he's trying to, through recruiting, get them to be better. So I don't know if you if it got much publicity up in Kentucky, but at halftime of the Alabama games, he was asked by our radio person and also by the TV person at halftime, and said the same thing to both of them, saying, you know, how do you make improvement in the second half? And he said, you got to go out and recruit. We need 25 new players out there. So yeah. That was very shocking to most people. That a coach would actually kind of throw his current players under the bus, so to speak. But I think Jeremy, just his style, he's so blunt and truthful that he really meant it. He said, we've got to get better players than what we've got if we're going to compete with Alabama. And I think everybody in Tennessee, you know, when you go into the season hoping to go 6-6 and get to a bowl game, I mean, the bar's not set very high. So, and I think that's, everybody knows here that Tennessee just needs better players.
They still have that possibility to clear that bar. So do you sense that the players are still very much engaged and would expect them to play hard tomorrow?
Oh, I think they'll play hard. Now, they're beat up. That's the one thing about it. Running backs are beat up. Chandler and Jordan probably will play, but they're not 100%. The linebackers are kind of beat up. So it's one of those things that they've played hard every game. They haven't sometimes played very smart at times, and they've blown a lot of assignments. But again, I don't, you know, Jeremy Pruitt has not dumbed down his defense, and he hasn't dumbed down the offense he wants to run because of the players. He's expecting them to lift their play and to get better and execute the way he wants it to execute. And with that, sometimes you get some lumps and bumps, and that's what's happened. But I think they'll play hard. It's just a matter of their execution. And I think the question tomorrow, Tom, and you know more about this than I do, is how motivated is Kentucky going to be? And so that might be the team that wins the game tomorrow is going to be the one that's motivated the best to go out there and execute and play.
Yeah, I mentioned one of the columnists here in the Herald Leader called it the trappiest trap game ever.
That's a good line.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, I don't have any feel for how motivated and how if Tennessee's going to come out with their hair on fire, if getting to the Birmingham Bowl is something that really motivates this team, or getting to the Liberty Bowl, is that something that turns their crank? And you know, Kentucky now, they've got a chance to go to a really good bowl game, but you know, how much is that 10-win season really the carrot out in front of them? And I don't know, and I guess probably we'll find out about 4 o'clock or so tomorrow afternoon.
Bob, I appreciate the time as always. See you tomorrow.
Okay, Tom. Look forward to seeing you. Thanks.
As Bob Kessling, radio voice of the Tennessee Vols. It's 25 after the top of the hour. Leach Report is served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Bob coming to us on the Kentucky branded hotline. We'll be right back with John Clay from the Herald Leader.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
47 after the top of the hours, we go back to the Kentucky branded hotline. Welcome in John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader. John, in November of 1984, you and I were fresh out of college. Were you covering the Kentucky-Tennessee football game down in Knoxville that day?
I was not. I was not at the game. I was covering high schools for the Herald Leader at that point.
I'm sure I know I wasn't there. I'm sure I was probably listening as not a lot on TV in those days. So that was the last time Kentucky won a game down in Knoxville. This would be two in a row for the first time. We keep going back to 76 and 77 a lot. This would be the first time for two in a row since that particular time in the Kentucky football timeline. And that's only part of the stakes for Kentucky tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even with the loss to Georgia, I mean, obviously, you know, disappointing. I think they just ran into a better team with better talent. But, you know, they still got a lot to play for. Could get 10 wins, which has not happened very often, I think a couple of times in school history. I thought Cash Daniel after practice, when we talked to him, you know, laid it out perfectly about, you know, this team has a chance to continue the turnaround to get 10 wins, to get 6 wins in the SEC, and to be remembered as a special team for a long time if they could finish out and win these last 3 games. And beating Tennessee and Knoxville for the first time since 1984 would certainly, you know, get that last third of the season, as Mark Stoops referred to it yesterday, off on the right foot. So it'll be interesting to see, with this team. They've never been in this position before where they played such a high-stakes game last week, and now they got to turn around and bounce back and rebound and get refocused for a road game in Tennessee. It'll be interesting to see how they play.
John Clay is with us from the Lexington Herald Leader. We're coming up on the hard break at the bottom of the hour, so we'll take that and come back to continue the discussion with John, and then a little later on in the show, Mike Reese, the radio voice of Southern Illinois. So when we come back, we'll get with John a little more on a football game, a little basketball, too. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Second half of the show as we continue on this Football Friday with John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader on the Kentucky branded hotline. John, you were talking about the emotional component to this for Kentucky because you had a big game last week, and the week before you had certainly an emotional comeback victory. And there are just times you can't really always explain it, but you certainly can observe that it happens. The teams kind of go to that emotional well so many times in a row, and at some point the bucket comes back up empty. I remember that back in 2007. They had Thursday night against South Carolina, number one LSU, big showdown with Tebow and game day and all that stuff. And then the next week they were just spent for Mississippi State. So that's the challenge, I guess, for this team is to work through that, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes, yeah, for whatever reason, the tank comes up empty. You hope that that's not the case this week. I think one thing that helps him in that regard is that he does have an experienced team. He does have a mature team. He's got a lot of older leaders on the team. You know, guys like Mike Edwards on defense. You know, think about, you know, I think Benny, even though he's not a senior, is a leader on offense. You know, I think that should help him in that situation. Like I mentioned earlier, Cash Daniel, the way he talked about what they have to play for the rest of the season, you know, I think they recognize that. But yeah, if you're Mark Stoops, I'm sure that's your big fear, or one of your big fears, is that at some point along the line that, you know, the tank just comes up empty.
I mentioned in the first segment that there's a headline on the Knoxville News Sentinel website today. I assume this is the same headline that's in the paper. Is UT football in danger of getting passed by Kentucky long term? That has to make the Vol fans a little uneasy.
Yes, I would think so. Yeah, very much so. You know, I talked to your friend of mine, Jimmy Himes, who runs a show. Jimmy's been around, of course, Tennessee Athletics forever. He's had a longtime radio show, call-in show there in Knoxville, and he was talking about the attendance. You would think that for a first-year coach, Jeremy Pruitt, people in, you know, Tennessee fans would be interested to see, you know, how they're doing, how they're playing, but they've had a lot of empty seats. He said he didn't think, considering it's cold weather, he'd be surprised if they had more than 75,000 there on Saturday, which is, you know, used to be unheard of for a Tennessee game, especially a Tennessee-Kentucky game, even though Tennessee dominated the series. Their border rivals, you'd think more people would be there. So, you know, Tennessee's had a lot of change the last few years. They haven't been able to get it going since basically the Phil Fulmer, Peyton Manning, T. Martin days back in the day. You know, they've gone through a series of coaches. I think there is some fear there. If you look at it, Kentucky's facilities are certainly, I wouldn't say they're the best in the SEC, but they're comparable with the SEC teams now. Mark Stoops has a lot of continuity, has it going. They're 11th in the college football rankings. Yeah, if you're Tennessee, you're looking up north and you're a little afraid probably what's going on right now.
Yeah, because, you know, Kentucky's going to lose a lot of key personnel off this team, particularly on the defensive side, but you see young guys behind them, whether it's a Chris Oates or a Quentin Bohanna, et cetera, on the defensive side. And, you know, you could imagine the growth of a young quarterback like a Terry Wilson, that it looks like Kentucky's, you know, building something that has a chance to be sustained and not just be a one-year wonder.
Yeah, to me, a couple of points on that is that, you know, in talking to the younger players, they talk about how they really the older players have taken them under their wings to teach them about, you know, Mark's so big, you know, you and I have heard him talk so many times about preparation and preparing the right way, knowing how to prepare. He's from that school that you win the game on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday in practice. You don't win the game on Saturday. And I think the culture that he has established, continuity being here 6 years, especially having success with his older guys this year who can pass it along, I think you're starting to see that. And an example of that to me is Devontae Robinson, who will start Saturday because Darius West has to sit out after the targeting call last week. He has come on and gotten better the more playing time he has received. Mark raved about him yesterday about the way he has played. He said, you know, he's such a sure tackler in open space. He's been able to play. He's had a lot on his plate because he's played both safety positions, but he's done that well. And I think you see more and more of those types of guys who are coming up through the program who've learned over under young, older, more experienced players, you know, and they know what to do. And I think, yeah, they could take a step back next year. They certainly will from an experience standpoint. But, you know, I don't think the gap will be as big next year as maybe it would have been in earlier years, just by the way the culture that they've been able to build here under Stoops, especially the last couple of years.
Let's shift gears to basketball. What was your take on what you heard from Cal yesterday in his media session?
Well, you know, I don't know about you, Tom, but I'm still sort of in shock over Tuesday. It was so jarring to see what happened. I mean, you know, if you had told me before the game, okay, Duke beats Kentucky in this game, I picked Kentucky to win. And I think Ben Roberts from our paper compiled like 32 predictions, and I think 30 people, myself included, picked Kentucky to win. There are only two. I think Scott Fowler from the Charlotte paper and Luke DeCock from the Raleigh paper picked Duke. And I think in my prediction, I said, you know, this might be a different result in March, but right now I think Kentucky's farther along. Kentucky will win. and to see the display that went on, that was pretty jarring. I think Cal, I think he made some interesting points, a couple of points he made yesterday. One saying, you know, this doesn't happen very often, what happened on Tuesday night, but when it does happen, it's needed. I think meaning that maybe they needed a shock to the system. The other thing that he said about, you know, he never bought into what happened at the Bahamas, where a lot of fans, and I'll admit myself included, I thought they looked really good in the Bahamas. They looked so far, much farther along than I would have thought for a team at that point, that he didn't drink the Kool-Aid from the Bahamas. So, you know, they got a lot of issues that they got to work through. The good news is that was the first game of the season. You know, I come back to, I'm so old, and Tom, I know you remember, back in 75 where they went up to Indiana. With
That's
Bobby
where
Knight
I was going to go with. Go next.
Yeah, they got the famous Bobby Knight slapping Joe B in the back of the head game, you know, got their doors blown off. I vividly remember Kentucky fans were outraged. They wanted that was it for Joe B. They wanted him out of here. Of course, you have to remember they were coming off a 13-13 season, I believe, the year before, and then turned around and beat Indiana in the Mideast Regional Final. And I wasn't there in person, watched it on TV, but still one of the greatest basketball games, you know, I've ever seen. Obviously, Indiana had Scott May play with a cast in that game, so Indiana fans said it would be a different story. But still, you can turn around and come back. But Duke was awful impressive. And, you know, how good are those three guys going to be at the end of the year if they play that well, you know, on Tuesday night?
Yeah, it's interesting you went there because that's where as I was watching the game, I think I maybe even referenced it with Mike at one point, that the decisiveness of the win was just reminiscent of what it was like that day, that it was just, one team that was on a completely different level. Now, a different time, Kentucky had seniors, but so did Indiana, so it was, you know, comparable. In fact, Indiana was probably the younger team. Because a lot of those guys were juniors.
And the one thing, too, I remember from that game is that Joe B. said after the game, Joe Hall, and people like Rick Roby, who was a freshman on that team, said Indiana taught him how to play. I think Kent Benson caught Roby with an elbow mm-hmm. in the jaw, and I think Roby said later on, that's when he realized, okay, this is what college basketball is really about. So maybe that's what happened with the Kentucky's freshmen on Tuesday. Maybe they learned that this is, you know, kind of made reference to that maybe they thought it was going to be easy after what happened in the Bahamas. I think overall it was just a snowball effect. Duke played really well. Kentucky did not play very well, and the next thing you know, it just spiraled out of control. Cal said yesterday they didn't think the team knew what it meant to about stop the bleeding. They tried to get 30 points in one play instead of just playing basketball. Maybe that's something they learned as well on Tuesday.
You know, you and I will also remember that the next game after that one we're talking about up in Bloomington was at Freedom Hall, and Kentucky looked as bad or worse for the start of it. And then Joe benched all the starters, and Jimmy Dan Connor came back and got 35 against North Carolina, and they kind of turned it around from there. But it wasn't like they bounced back immediately.
No, that's true. If I remember correctly, he benched them all, and then he basically begged to go back in, and he put them back in, and they made the big comeback, even though they came up short. But that helped turn it around. Joe would do those types of things. If you remember in that 78 run, didn't he bench the starters at halftime?
Florida State game.
The second half of the first NCAA tournament game because they were not playing well. So Joe was not afraid to take chances like that, that's for sure.
No, one of many reasons. He didn't get enough credit for the job that he did and the spot that he was in.
Absolutely.
John, appreciate the time very much. We'll see you tonight or tomorrow in Knoxville. Thank you.
I'll see you both.
We'll be on the same circuit. Thank you very much. We're getting to a break. It's 16 away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. They have locations in Hamburg and in Palomar. And if you're getting folks together to watch the game tomorrow, let Wild Eggs cater your game day party or your office event. 859-312-7288 is the number for Kentucky-owned and operated Wild Eggs. Everything made from scratch. We'll be right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
Back into our Friday edition of the Leach Report, and we welcome on the Kentucky branded hotline Mike Reese. He's the radio voice for Southern Illinois, which will play the Cats in Rupp Arena tonight in the home opener for John Calipari's club. And Mike, you've been in this job just more than a year or two, right?
Were you trying not to say too long, Tom? 40 years. But the
40
first
years.
Trip to Rupp and the first trip to, first time Southern's ever played UK. And so I think everybody connected with SIU is looking forward to it. And it's a pleasure and an honor to be with you now.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I, same goes back to you. I was surprised. I was thinking that they had probably played at least once or twice over the years. That I was a, as I was growing up, one of my first favorite teams was the New York Knicks, and mainly because I loved Walt Frazier. And so I became aware of Southern Illinois way back then in the early 70s. He's the most famous basketball alum, right?
Yeah, and he's probably the most famous alum of the entire university, no doubt. And Harry Gallatin helped get him to the Knicks. Gallatin was SIU's coach when Frazier played at Southern in the late 60s, and so that played a role in that as well. So it's Southern has a strong tradition. Now, it's a streaky tradition. It's about 7 or 8 years on and 7 or 8 years off. Mid-90s, Southern was extremely strong. Its best run was 2002 through 2007 when it got to two Sweet 16s and as high as an 11th ranking. And so it's now in one of those, they haven't been back to the tournament since 7. And so it's on that down streak right now in terms of NCAAs, but they have high hopes that that ends this year.
Yeah, now I remember. We actually, I guess we were in the same building at one time. Didn't Southern, one of those Sweet 16 runs, was up in Syracuse in 02.
San Jose, I believe, right?
Was that what it was? I was thinking it was an 02 up in Syracuse.
Yes. You're
Bruce
right.
Weber.
My apologies. Right.
Was
Southern. Southern played UConn, and was Maryland the fourth?
Maryland played Kentucky, and Maryland went on to win the title, I believe, that year. So, we were in the same building then. This is a team that returns all five starters, and as I said in our opening segment today, the better teams in the Missouri Valley are always going to be a tough opponent, and this team has got all five starters back, picked preseason third, right?
Right.
Tell me a little bit about the team.
Yeah, the Valley, and what tends to happen, and this was true with Loyola last year going to the Final Four, mid-major teams, the best ones tend to be the veteran squads versus at the high major level, it's the freshman athlete that tends to be the difference. And Southern has a veteran squad with six seniors and five senior starters. And they won 20 ball games last year, lost in overtime of the conference tournament in the semifinals last year to end their season. They have 59 wins in the last 3 years. And so this is all kind of pointed toward this. They've had roster stability these last 2 years, which they really had some instability prior to that, and so some wins have come together, and they've pointed to this. These guys have played a lot of games. Now, Southern's bench is youngish, but its starters are all in the 22, 23 years of age, and Henson has had his best teams when he's had older teams. Mid-major teams are at their best when they're older, and that's one of the reasons why Southern is pointing to the prospects of a great season this year is its age, its maturity.
Mike Reese with us from the SIU radio network here on the Kentucky Branded Hotline on the Leach Report. They've got a familiar name in the starting five, Kavion Pippen, who is Scotty's nephew. Tell me about him as a player.
Well, he is really strong offensively. He is getting better defensively. Southern had a 6'8" forward a year ago named Teak Bowl, who should have played in Pippen's spot but got hurt. And so Pippen got force-fed in his first year out of Three Rivers College. He's 6'10", he's 245, he's a fourth-year player, he's from Arkansas, and he averaged 12 points and 6 rebounds per game a year ago. But by being force-fed, he had to play 27 minutes last year, Tom. And that rose him much quicker than most people projected him. He was viewed as raw, and so he fell to the mid-majors coming out of junior college. And so Southern felt lucky to get him and probably will reap the benefits now for having him having played last year because he's better as a senior. And Southern, with Bowl and Pippen, thinks it can be a strong factor in the Missouri Valley because of that front line. He is very good at the goal offensively. He's getting better at blocking shots. He still has a ways to go in man-to-man defense in the post. He needs help on that. He can step out and shoot, not at a 50% clip by any stretch of the imagination, but enough that you have to respect him. It'll be interesting to watch him in this environment against these players tonight.
Tell me, when this team will be playing at their best this season, what will they do especially well?
I think they'll be able to shoot the three. I think they'll be a good but not great rebounding team. I think they'll be a quick team. Defensively, I would give them probably a C right now. So that's the area that they really have to improve. They're employing some different defensive principles than they have in the past. And Tom, I think figuring out a rotation is going to be key. Right now, they're at 10 players. And one of them was a key a year ago until he got hurt in Eric McGill, who's super quick and he can go get the ball. And but he got hurt. It settled down Southern's rotation. Prior to that, the Salukis, I think, were struggling who to play at what time and for how long. And when he got hurt, unfortunately, they lost a good player, but at the same time, it settled down their rotation. Well, he's back, so they've got to find minutes. And finding that right combination off the first sub, off the second sub, that's going to be a challenge for Southern. So that area and defensively, Southern's early challenges. But offensively, Southern can score. And I think Henson has molded his team in the likeness of Kansas in that everybody can shoot the ball. He spent 4 years on KU's bench after he got fired at Missouri State as the head coach. And so a lot of those principles he's tried to get here in terms of recruiting, and this is the first year where maybe they can do that. All the guys can shoot the ball probably among the first seven can shoot the ball probably facing the goal probably with the exception of Bowl. And so Southern offensively, when it's rolling, should be an 80-points type club.
Mike, I appreciate the time. Look forward to visiting with you tonight.
Same here. Thank you, Tom.
As Mike Reese, the longtime radio voice of SIU basketball, will come back and wrap up the show after this timeout. Donato Slice of Wildcat History. This day in 2012, Jared Polson came off the bench to lead Kentucky to a win against Maryland in the season opener up at the Barclays Center. Jared had 10 points on 4 of 5 shooting, 3 assists and a steal, and his 22 minutes were what turned the tide for Kentucky to get out of there with a win over the top 10 ranked Terrapins. That's going to do it for this edition of the Leach Report. Have a great weekend. We're back on Monday at Wild Eggs in Hamburg.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on the Leach Report Radio Network.